This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello!
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FUBAR Radio. I'm Lizzie Gundy.
I'm Stephen Lang. And
wow.
we already have, you know, usually we're pretty jam-packed.
We
already
are. Have... Jammo Ramo today, but we've got beauty with us.
And friend of the show, I would say.
Legend.
Gemma Lucy.
Gemma! Gemma Lucy's in the house.
I love it here.
We're well, really glad to have you.
Thank you.
You've been a busy girl for the last month or two.
You may not be here for all those weeks, but we've been talking about your pregnancy.
Have you?
Yes.
Oh my God.
We have been chatting about her. Now, are we going to play Quick Track? Are we going to get into
it? I think we're just going to go straight into it.
Okay, well, Gemma. Firstly, congratulations, Celebrity Big Brother.
Thank you.
Does it seem like a while ago now?
Oh my God, I can't even feel like I've done it. It's weird.
I mean, what was that like? Cause I mean, I remember seeing it online that you could be going in, and I thought, my goodness, she kept that under her hat.
I know, I had to. I wasn't allowed to tell anyone. I've known for about 3 months before that it was in the pipeline.
Yes.
Well, actually, I knew since the year before, but three months before that it was pretty definite. But yeah, if anyone finds out and tells a story, then they don't put you in.
That's
so.
It.
I just kept it and I didn't tell anyone. I didn't even tell my family until like the day before. So.
And then there you were with Sarah Harding.
Oh, great news.
So, darling, tell us a little bit about it. I mean, what is it really, just as you go in, is it so daunting and frightening? Or is it... Because you seem very cool to me. I thought, gosh, she's really...
Do you think?
Yeah,
oh, my God, I was so nervous. Like, the 2 days before, because they take your phone off you and you go into hiding. And it is really scary, like, because you don't know what to expect. And when those doors open, when you walk out onto the stage and you see Emma, you're just like, what the fuck? I see this on the TV. What am I doing? And I was expecting loads of boos, and I didn't. I got loads of cheers, so I was really happy. But I was really nervous, so it kind of, like, went too quickly. I wish I just soaked it in more. So.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I have to say, you were so... I mean, TV gold, I would say. Because there was never a dull moment.
No,
there
certainly.
Really wasn't.
Well, there couldn't have been. It was too... Like, if you didn't do stuff, it would have been boring in there because there's nothing to do. And I mean that with all respect to the show. Like, obviously, we haven't got our phones. We can't... Yeah. Do you know what I mean? There's three rooms that you just walk in and out of constantly speaking to the same people. So unless you sit around doing nothing, which some people did, like, I'm not one of those people.
No,
so
neither.
I wasn't stirring shit for no reason, but I've always been outspoken. I'll always say what I think and stand up for what I believe in. And sometimes it's... goes against what the public think, what's controversial, but it's just me, so...
Because you and Sarah Harding really locked horns, didn't you? From they don't
were you
really.
Expecting that? Because obviously you meet her, you must have known Girls Aloud. You probably danced to a couple of Girls Aloud songs before.
Well, exactly. Like. And to be honest, I used to like Girls Aloud, and I had the songs on my iPod when I was younger, but I expected actually to either get on with her or hate her. It was one of the two. And when the first thing she said to me was something like, oh, I've got so much anxiety and this and that. And she just went on about all this negative stuff. And I was just like, please just go away.
I don't hate this.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like I disliked her. I just like to surround myself with positive energies and positive people. And she was just the complete opposite. Mm. So I didn't dislike her, but I did distance myself for that reason. And when I saw her, negative energy is so contagious.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was kind of like getting sucked into it, and I was just like telling people, like, be careful, like, you, do you know what I mean? She's sucking you in, and then it became a war.
Because you had Paul, who I thought you two really kind of seemed to hit it off at the beginning and knew each other from the past, being out and about, but you seemed to get on, and then it kind of went all a bit pear-shaped,
didn't
it?
Well, that's the thing with Paul. I loved Paul when I first met him. He was so sweet, and we got on, but then I started to notice what he was doing, and, like, I get on with Paul now, so I don't want to cause any shit, but going back to that, he kind of would go from group to group and tell everyone what they wanted to hear.
It's quite bitchy.
And when I watched a little bit back, he went from me apologising to me, and we basically became friends again after an argument, going straight to Sarah, going, oh, yeah, Gemma this, Gemma that. I'm like, what? You don't make no sense. I just don't... No.
He wanted to be friends with everyone, in a way.
Yeah, exactly.
But you had some of the funniest moments, honestly.
What was the bit? I'm trying to remember what it was exactly. When you stormed into the bathroom and then you stormed back out, Sarah was like, you were like, fuck sake.
Oh, wait, which bit was that?
Oh, no, Sarah stormed into the bathroom and then she was... Because she was always crying, wasn't she?
Oh, my God, she was always please, like, she spent more time bloody wet than dry, I'm telling you. She's crying all the time.
Not in the right place.
No, exactly.
Oh, my
exactly,
God, bad. But,
sorry.
But do you think... Because there's always stuff about her drinking, right? Like, and it was, like, on all the time. She was like, I don't have a problem. But then it was only when she had a drink that she would get angry.
Exactly. She's got... The thing with people, right, with... like with me, I know for a fact that I can go out and drink loads and get smashed and enjoy it, and then the next day or not drink for months. I know that I've got the capability, and in the house I was like, right, I'm going to drink every night, because that's what you do in that situation. I will
get you through it, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. I'll go head first into anything. So if I'm in the Big Brother house, I'm going to get drunk every night and smash it. If I'm out here, I'm going to go to the gym every day and not drink. So it's like that. But with people like her, she's in denial. She's an alcoholic. She drinks too much, but she won't admit it. Mm. And she can't control it. So that's why she blames other people. And she's a negative drunk, I would say, because she becomes even more negative and like angry and stuff.
And did you feel it was real, the romance that she had?
No, not at all. Of course not.
But see, I hoped it was.
But then
at
they've
one stage.
Gone out. She's gone out to LA to see him, and or do you think that's
yeah,
all just?
Yeah, that's just for pap shots. Come on. No, but do you know what the funny thing about Sarah is, right? And the reason I'm being so open about it now is because in the house, what they didn't show was she said to me, "Oh, Jem, me and you would get on really well on the outside. It's just in here, it's too much, blah, blah, blah." So I thought, fair enough, if you really think that, then I'll give you a chance on the outside. So I have texted her and she's not responded.
Oh, really?
So she
that's
obviously didn't mean what... Well, it's not really, but she she didn't mean what she said, which is exactly proves my point about her. I don't like people who chat shit or who lie, and that's what she is. Yeah. You know what I mean? I texted her and I said, oh, yeah, if you meant what you said, let's go for a drink. And she's read it and not replied, so I've been pied by Sarah Harding. Oh, no.
But, sorry, Jem, I wouldn't do that to you. No, but Jem, you were real, you were honest. I mean, what did your folks and friends say when you came out? Were they like, wow, what? Because you were wild at times, but I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, everyone said that I did well and they supported me. I had my moments where I was a bit Gemma, as they would put it. But that's me, do you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Well, that's slightly. I think you said it before we came in. You were a bit aggressive sometimes, but you acknowledge that in yourself, right? You know that when you're, you can get a bit over the top.
I know I can be aggressive, and I think there's a time and a place, and I think Big Brother is the time and the place. You know what I mean? If I was in a club, I'd walk away, or I was in a restaurant, I'd just get up, whatever, or bring a friend, or do you know what I mean? Take myself out of the situation. But Big Brother's the time and the place to be how you want to be. I wasn't too aggressive, otherwise I would have got kicked out.
Yeah, of course.
So I was on the line.
Are you conscious the cameras are there? Because that's what I always think. I mean, do you hear them? Because people said you can hear them going, are they turning on you? Or do you forget that they're actually there?
You forget they're there. But there were a couple of times when I was getting changed and I was just like bend over naked. I'm like, oh shit, there's a camera right there. Do you know what I mean? That's the only time when I'd think shit. But I know they won't put that on. But no, you don't. You do.
Oh, that's that? Sarah Harding.
Is it? Let me answer.
Sarah. No, she was to Gemma. She's waiting for that drink.
Yeah, so. I'm waiting for that fucking drink, mate.
Do you look back on it as a positive experience?
Oh, 100%, yeah. I loved every single minute of it. It was the hardest thing I've ever done, but I loved it. I would do it all over again. It just went by too quick.
Yeah.
Three and a half weeks.
Could you have done another week or so in there?
No. At the time, no. But I could go back in now for another 3.5 weeks, but I couldn't do like the civilian one. What's that, 8 weeks?
Oh, yeah. My God.
I could not
do it. I don't know how
do
they
it.
Do that.
No.
It must be crazy. But is it a real fight for the food and the drink? Like, because there were issues with the drink because you thought they were certain people were hiding drinks.
So the thing is, like, obviously, never blame the editor, but obviously you can't put 24 hours into a 45-minute show. We had agreed, because everyone kept, like, there's nothing to do all day. So when the alcohol comes, everyone runs, grabs about 10 cans each and then goes and hides it. And like, everyone started doing it. And we all just agreed, leave it on the kitchen table. When you're thirsty, get one. Yeah. And that's it. Like, none of this hiding. But they didn't listen because they're special, Chad and Sarah, obviously. So they didn't listen. And not special like that.
No, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, yeah, they think they're better. Yeah. So they would go and get the wine and like, just... Do you know what I mean? Put it under their chair, and I'm just like, no. And then they didn't show that everybody in the kitchen was slagging them off, saying, "Can't believe they've done this, can't believe they've done that." And I just said, "Well, I'm going to go get it." So I went and got it. But it looks like I've just aggressively gone and took it. Yeah. But there was a discussion before I did that.
I mean, do you think the editing's got a lot to do with it? Because maybe they didn't show other people moaning about them, and they only showed you it in a way.
I mean, I think editing has obviously a lot to do with every show because. You know, you need to cut it down. You can't blame an edit though of how someone's come across because you still did that and you still said that.
Yeah.
You might come across a bit more of a dick than you are normally if other people are involved and they're not showing that. But that is still they can't make you do or say anything that you haven't done and said. So you can't blame an edit. You just have to cut it down sometimes.
It's murder on the dance floor. You better not kill the groove, DJ. Gonna burn this goddamn house right down. Oh, I know, I know, I know, I know, I know, I know, I know about your kind. And so, 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 and so I'll have to.
Thank you very much, babe. Thank you.
Right, how have you done this? Because your body is like a temple now. Oh, my goodness, like a Greek goddess. You're like,
yeah, but you know what it was? I took my fake boobs out, so it made me number one. That's what you haven't noticed. That's why I'm looking so small.
The fake boobs are out. I didn't even notice that.
So I thought I'll wait for you till we get on the radio because you were just saying to me out there, why are you looking so tiny? I took them out.
Wow.
Yeah. Mate. 21 years and they're out. And,
21 and did you kiss them goodbye and go,
I've got them at home.
I'd frame them or put them on the mantelpiece.
They weigh a pound each.
Wow.
And all your clothes feel different. Everything just fits. Like, you know, I feel younger without them.
But your body looks so different.
That's what it is. And also, I think, I've got to say this to everyone who's
got
them.
I'd be scared. I'd be scared to say goodbye to mine.
Would you?
I really would.
No, I tell you what, you shrink everything. Water retention goes, you just shrink. Yeah, I noticed that I just shrunk like two sizes down when I took them out.
I mean, I saw you at Pop Aid, and I haven't seen you for a while, and I just said, your figure looked incredible. You
but
look
you
so...
didn't know it was that, did you?
I didn't know it was the boobs.
I just, yeah, because no one does. They keep saying, what have you done, what have you done? And then I just thought, I'll wait until I'm on here to say,
Wow, Meg, you've shocked me. We should have had a Bye-Bye Boobs party.
I know, we should have done, shouldn't we?
Well, that's very
down
brave.
In my ankles now.
But was it hard in a way because you've then got to buy new clothes, new bras?
Right. So it was no, because I've been squashing them in for 20 years into trying to be in size 6 top. So everything now just is great. They're not bursting open because everything you buy, if you know, we're small and petite, but then we have these huge boobs that aren't really supposed to be there. So we're buying all these jackets and they just tighten them to pull them in. So all of a sudden, all the designer wear that I've so wanted to, you know, love and I've got in my wardrobe, all of a sudden it fits properly.
Actually, I have to say, a lot of designers say to me, Lizzie, we want you to wear this, but we can't do it.
You don't get into sample sizes. I mean, you will everywhere else, but when it comes to boobs, the dresses, they're just like, and then it just looks ugly. Mm. And also, I just noticed that it was the boobs were wearing me. I wasn't wearing myself. Just seems to be there. I'm 51
boobs.
And it's all boobs, and I just thought, I just want to be natural. So, like, no hair extensions, no false nails, no false lashes, no false boobs.
Sounds like
and
my
I cut out the fillers with chalk and cheese.
Listen, that I think that is absolutely so courageous of you and very brave to do. There are a lot of women that will be listening thinking, wow, to do that, because it totally changes your appearance, but you look younger for it.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't know. I think I was just doing more of everything and just, you know what I mean, just sort of like the fake lashes, the long nails, and it was making me look older. And all of a sudden I've just taken, you know, peeled back the onion, took all that off, which was costing me a fortune. And then all of a sudden I've had more people say to me, I've done it in so I took them out in May, so more people I've said, oh my God, what is different? You look younger, what are you different? And I just thought, my God, I've just taken all that off. So I think what happens at this age, at 51, when you're going through the menopause and you're not feeling good about yourself, we just start panicking and we overload on everything, on Botox, on fillers, on facelifts, on, you know, lashes, on everything.
Looking at my lashes tonight.
I am looking at your lashes
tonight. I hit you in the face for so long. Darling. Well, you know what? I want to talk about this, Meg, because it is unbelievable.
Brilliant. Well, you know what? I just
Meg
think less
has
is
said
more.
Goodbye to her boobs.
I have indeed. There you go, Lizzie.
Gosh. But they were great. They were good. Maybe I could borrow them.
No. I don't think you need any more. No more for you, Lizzie. No
I'm gonna
more.
I'm going to go like Dolly Parton. I'm going to go the opposite.
Can't keep my hands to myself. No matter how hard I'm trying to. I want you all to myself. You're metaphorical gin and juice. So come on, give me a taste of what it's like to be next to you. Won't let one drop go to waste. You're metaphorical gin and juice. Oh, all of the downs and the uppers keep making love to each other. Keep my hands to myself. Hands to myself. Can't keep my hands to myself. Hands to myself. The doctors say you're no good, but people say what they wanna say. And you should know if I could, I'd breathe you in every single day. Oh, 'cause all of the doubts and the outbursts keep making love to each other. And I'm trying, 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 trying. All of the downs and the outbursts keep making love to each other. And I'm trying, 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 but I can't keep my hands to myself.
Can't keep my hands to myself. I want it all, no, no, say. Can't keep my hands to myself. I mean, I could, but why would I want to?
Now we have our next fabulous guest in.
I know, and she's so looking hot.
She's looking hot, but she can't sit down.
No, I can't.
There's a reason. Her name is Abby Clark.
Abby Clark, how are you?
I'm so glad to be here. I'm actually really excited.
No, really glad to have you here.
Abby, you always look amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Can I tell you, when I see you on the little circuit, the few events we bump into each other, you always look beautiful.
I'm just taking it from the pro. Every single time I see you, you are just on point. Love.
Oh,
you are.
I love that. I don't feel it today. I don't. A little late night. But you're feeling a little bit sore in certain areas.
Yes.
Are we allowed to say, Abby?
Yes, you are.
Because I can't put you on
you've
our
had
stool.
A little. You've had a little bum.
Yeah,
implant.
I've had a, have, no, not, it, no, not no. implants. It's
can
my own
it,
fat.
Oh, what happens? Tell us, Abby. You've had your own fat put in your bottom.
Yeah. So basically, taken out of my belly and put into my bum.
Wow.
And it's worked. I mean, I'm looking now. It's
thank
worked.
Abby, you had the tiniest little. You didn't have a tummy to take any.
Well, I
out,
did to
you?
Have a nice little few weeks of just eating whatever the hell I wanted to eat.
Because you knew it was coming out.
And I was like, yeah. And got a little bit fat, and then decided to just put it all in my bum.
So right.
As you do.
So I have a McDonald's that's going in the bum.
Yeah, now I understand an implant or something like that. I get how that works. I don't understand how if you just take the fat from your stomach, how it would stay in your bum.
Well, I've lost a lot of it, so they put like 1,000 cc in each of
Jesus
my bums.
Jesus Christ!
Hold on, so from your
it
tummy.
It was huge. It was like I look like Kim K. Like no joke.
I think you look a bit like Kim K now.
Yeah, I thought you had those bumper pants on.
Stop it! Are you joking? I don't know. Is that a good thing?
You make J Lo look like she's got a flat bum. I'm telling you.
Yay!
I can't get over your.
But
bottom.
So what happens? It dies down.
Yeah, so it dies down.
Calms right. down. Is it painful? First of all,
it's very painful. So, like,
how do you sleep on your
on
side?
My front? You can't. You're not allowed to sit down for 6 weeks. So, I'm literally.
How do you drive? You don't.
Like. On my thighs, like, so everywhere I sit, if I do sit, everyone's like, oh my god, she's got good posture. Like, literally
she
as
on
high
your
as
side.
Anything. Yeah, or like on the side.
Wow.
It sounds painful.
It's
so
mad.
Why did you get it done? Because that's a big commitment, 6 weeks of not lying down or sitting properly.
Yeah. I basically was the fittest I've ever been in my life, and I was just putting weight on and everything, and I was like, what is going on? Like, I'm so fit. I'm in the gym 4 times a week, 5 times a week. And I was just, like, becoming massive. And basically, I got polycystic ovaries.
Okay.
So then there was nothing I could really do. And then I just thought, I need to go for a drastic change.
Really?
Just make it, like...
You were so always
that's
so
really,
slim.
That's
it
really...
was literally in, like, 2.5 months, just free stone, bam,
but
on...
But 2.5 months is not a long time to make a decision as big as having surgery. Do you know what I mean?
I have this thing when I... Right, so this is my little thing.
You get a bee in your bonnet, that's it.
Yeah, like, when I break up with someone or, like, something big happens in my life, I go and have surgery done.
Oh, yeah, quick fix. As you make it feel better.
As you do.
Yeah, I understand you know? That. No, I understand
yeah.
that. I do
so,
understand
like,
that.
Boobs done, lips done.
Makes you feel better.
Bum done.
Bum's a big
you've had your lips
things.
Done?
Yeah.
Oh. You've got a lovely mouth. It doesn't look like
oh,
it.
Thanks.
Have mine done?
Have you ever had your lips done?
I'm scared with lips.
Oh, my God, they look amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Oh.
No, my mum has got a good mouth. I've luckily got my mum's mouth.
The good genes.
Good genes, but I wouldn't say never, because they say your mouth... I like that top
just a little
lip,
bit.
A little bit, possibly. Yeah. Hmm. I'm not... No, I haven't doubled.
I mean, I think it's interesting, though, because...
the bum is a big thing.
Abby, how old are you?
25.
So it's quite a big deal to have. I'm not coming for you, but I mean, it's just quite a big. It's just quite a big deal to have a lot of surgery like that when you're not even 30. I mean, like.
No, I know. Yeah, it's quite a big thing.
So does this last forever?
Yeah.
Right.
They've given me hips, which obviously is, I'm a little bit like, a bit scary because I'm quite curvy anyway, and now that's extra curve, and I'm like, do you know what? I'm going to have to own it now.
But is that because
you're owning it to me?
But is that because your waist is thinner because they've taken the fat out, so your hips look bigger because your waist has gone more tiny?
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of a natural pear shape anyway, so kind of now making me an hourglass, but it is a little bit. I've just got to get used to it, and I can't work out, and it's killing me so much for like 12 weeks.
Is it hurting? Is actual pain? Are you taking painkillers and drugs?
Yeah, no, it's fine now, but it does hurt a little bit. Just that's more of the lipo side of things, but I just can't sit down and work out, and that's even worse.
And you went to Turkey to get this done?
Yeah.
What is it? It's with Turkey.
So yeah, I've seen this Gemma Lucy, and there's someone else I've just seen
that we had on last week who went to Turkey to get her teeth done.
Yeah, everyone's going to get their teeth done in Turkey.
But what?
That'll be me next.
You don't need your bloody teeth.
I'm joking. I'm not really. I can't.
But why is everyone going to Turkey? What's the deal? It's they get to stay in these stunning villas and all this.
Yeah, stunning villas, a little bit of a holiday away, and it's cheap.
Right.
Yeah, but after you've had the treatment, it's not a holiday, it's painful. Then you've got to do the flight home. You've got to sit.
Yeah, that was a bit like, the landing was a bit like,
bumpy landing. She's like, hold on.
Yeah, literally, I was.
You asked if you could stand up while we land. Can I stand in the cockpit?
I was going to, but I thought I can't.
Oh, Albert, it seems a lot of pain.
I know, but it's, for me, I'm like, just give it a couple more weeks. When everything goes down, I can start working out, and then I'm going to start seeing the results. Like, I am pleased.
People
are staring and pointing at me in the street like I'm an item. I'm like, yeah.
So were you? Did you feel like you had a flat bum before? Sorry,
I never had a flat bum.
I don't think you had a flat bum. I think you've got a lovely bum.
Thanks. But I feel like because I had a natural big bum, it's kind of like just enhanced I've got. Like, with working out and stuff and putting on all the weight and things, like, it was just enhancing, I think, what I've got, really, instead of changing.
You are as gorgeous as ever.
Oh,
I love
your
new bum.
Thank you.
It's fab, to be fair.
I didn't feel you needed it, but you look fantastic.
Thank you so much.
And I can't wait to have a little squeeze.
When it's better,
yeah,
not
when
now.
It's better, not now.
I will, a little one.
Thank you so much for coming
Thanks,
in, Abby.
Thanks, guys, for having me. Thank you.
I walk. listening to the best of Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio.
The gossip has started already.
Oh, sorry, I'm chatting already. I'm
Everyone is ready to go.
Oh,
we have our favourite and final guests of the day.
Favourite? Yes. I'm doing radio. I'm at home picking up dog thing in the garden, covered in dog flop. I thought it's only radio. I've walked in and there's a dog.
That is Jessie Wallace, everyone.
Hello. I'm not covered in dog flop.
No. Bradley's looking very hot.
Yeah,
as
very
well.
Dapper. Thank you very much.
Jess, you look gorgeous. As
so
always.
Do you, as always.
Well, it's so
Two
good
gorgeous
to see
brunettes
you.
In front of me.
I'm so excited when I knew you guys were coming in.
Thank you.
I was just saying, the last time I saw you, do you know what? I just remember this funny show we went to.
How long ago was this?
Quite a few years ago. And it was Derek Okora.
Was it in Blackpool?
Oh, God. I remember it was the funniest night, and he was running around the stage and he didn't know what he was doing. It was just so funny.
It's a bit like Big Brother, isn't it?
It was a little bit like Big Brother. Now, guys, I can't believe it. It's like EastEnders reunion here, but you're doing a show together.
Yeah, but we never worked together on EastEnders. We were at different times. But so it's great. We're doing a lovely play together.
You knew Jess was coming on set. Oh, Jess!
Sorry, I thought I'd on silent.
The agent called him.
Too popular.
That's true.
It's on social.
Talk more about the show.
So Death Trap.
Yes. Yep.
That is the show you are doing. You are touring all over the UK.
Yeah.
Please explain a bit about what the show is. I looked at a trailer earlier and it looked kind of scary.
It is scary. It's sort of funny and scary.
Yeah.
I play a writer, Sidney Brule, who's had a success 18 years ago and he hasn't had one since. And he gets this fantastic play through the mail and he thinks, if I bump the writer off, I can put this play out as my own.
Sounds like a good idea.
His wife says, that's not a good idea, don't do it. And then that's about all we can tell you, because it sort of does several twists and turns.
Okay.
And things happen and things don't happen. And
ooh, I'm going to have to come and see this, because you've got...
Oh, please.
You're everywhere with this, aren't you? We've been Brighton.
Yeah, we start
off... Richmond, I'm from Richmond.
Richmond, yes. We end up in Richmond.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful.
We preview in Sheffield. We open in Brighton. Which is the 11th? No, the 12th.
So, yeah, the Thursday.
Yeah.
That is you've got Brighton, Aylesbury, Southend, Guildford, Cardiff, Cheltenham, Colchester, Birmingham, Richmond.
Excellent.
That's it.
Boom.
Got it all in.
Boom.
Boom.
And Richmond and Guildford. I can't, but I'm from Richmond.
Okay. I'm looking forward to Richmond.
Yeah, you're going to have
fun. Beautiful theatre.
And we've got good bars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, I know.
I'll be commuting, so I'll be zooming straight home.
I'll take you out for
maybe.
A little one. I'll take you for a little one. Yes.
A little spritzer.
You're on.
A little spritzer, yeah. Shall we say. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. One of these.
Yeah, one of these.
That's mine.
I'm not drinking on the show. Would I do such a thing?
No, it's Please. Mine.
But of course it is. But, darling, now, theatre is hard work. I don't know if you know, I did theatre for 3 months, did a musical, and I've never been so tired. The rehearsals in itself and everything. I mean, how do you find it from doing the soaps and you did obviously?
Well, it's a different sort of tiredness. The thing about being on a soap is that you get very little time to rehearse, if any, and you've got to sort of like you just turn up and do it. And for theatre, you have to, because it's about, you have to be in, you have to be able to do it every night. You've got to get quite fit. And I think I've lost about half a stone and definitely got fitter.
Have you?
Impressive.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
And I wear
because
a Fitbit,
we did a run today.
And I wear a Fitbit. And yesterday, I try and do 10,000 a day. And yesterday it was 16,000. Because we were
killing it.
Quite heavy, you know.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
From
and all the fights. Oh. I do three fights in it. And that's sort of quite, you know.
That's
never done that before.
Yeah, we did the first half.
Run through
today. And it was exhausting.
Yeah.
And I don't do half as much as Paul does, really.
Yeah. My goodness, it was going to keep me fit.
Yeah, hopefully.
Get me fit. I'm like, keep me fit.
She'd be doing the 16,000 steps.
Don't you get nervous going on stage? Because, I mean, some people...
You're both seasoned professionals.
I mean, I know. But I was with this Olivier Award winner, and he was so nervous. And he was doing these funny... He was very superstitious, doing these funny little things behind. Yeah. And I was like, gosh.
I think people fib if they say that they don't get nervous.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you get nervous?
Mm. It shows you care about it and you want to do it well. And that's the thing. I sort of think, oh gosh, I'm going to be found out. And people are going to go, that's rubbish, you know. And so that, or I'm going to fall over, or, well, I probably will fall over.
But turn it into part of the show.
All areas on FUBAR Radio.
Kevin MacLeod, welcome to FUBAR Radio.
Thank you for having me on the show.
It's a busy time for you, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, this time of year is. I mean, I did take all my holiday in sort of January and February because I haven't had a summer holiday for decades because the show airs, you know, Grand Designs airs in the autumn.
So that's when you film.
Beginning of September. So I'm always nuts from sort of April onwards right through till October, really.
And obviously, we're talking here to talk about Grand Designs Live, but Grand Designs, the show, is what you're best known for. Yeah. It feels like it's never been off the TV.
That's because it's never been off the TV.
How many years have you been doing it now?
20.
I mean, that is a long time, isn't it?
It's longer than you are old, I'm sure.
I wish that was the case. How do you keep it fresh? Because it must be hard. Any job that you do for 20 years must be hard to...
We work with really talented, gifted directors and researchers and producers. And basically, I chew them up and spit them out. And I rely on the energy of others around me. And I also actually really fundamentally rely on the energy of the projects. And if I was sort of doing something really negative, you know, like something really exploitative, I think by now I'd have turned, my soul would have gone black and charred, and I'd become more wizened. But as it is, the work almost keeps me young, because the projects are so rich, so charged with human energy, these great building schemes, and particularly because they're people's homes, you know. I really can draw from the energy of that, and the best days are when I turn up grumpy and tired first thing in the morning, and then emerge at the end of the day kind of actually really fired up. And yesterday was a day like that, actually. It was a cold, horrible day at the end of the day. I wasn't feeling too well. But actually, 7 o'clock last night, I felt really buzzy because we'd had such a good day filming. And I think that, it's a sort of elixir of youth for me.
And architecture is what does that to you, is it?
Yeah, and not just architecture, but it's the human. I mean, you know, of course, architecture is for human beings. It is for us. It's for you and me. And it is the interaction with buildings and the interaction with making buildings and the craftsmanship, whether it's actually making a table, because sometimes we follow that process just as much as we do somebody putting up a wall, that is of endless fascination to me. And because what goes into making things is love and commitment and care. And what comes out of them is love and commitment and care. There is a great quote by a man called Charles Moore, who was an architect and a critic. And he said, any good building should have the capacity to absorb vast amounts of human energy and then, over time, release it with interest. And I love that idea that a building is this kind of powerhouse. It kind of, if a made thing is good, it will radiate energy like a nuclear reactor. It'll keep doing it, you know.
But that also, it was kind of... shows that homes aren't a static thing, isn't it? They grow with the people inside them.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, and good buildings are about place as well as people, and people's response to place, and an expression in a time as well. So there's a kind of big metaphysical and poetic role for buildings, really.
Yeah. Do you think that the programme has kind of inspired more generally people to be interested? I know myself, I've stayed in a living architecture property before, which was a really amazing experience. I mean, my house in Hackney is very different. Do you think that those kind of things have become more popular because people are more aware of design in a way they were before?
I think Alain de Botton's living architecture project would have happened anyway, regardless of what's on telly. And for that matter, of course, you can stay in a landmark trust house and you can visit national trust houses which are contemporary, you know, 60s and 80s, as well as historic ones. So, you know, with something like the thing we've been doing, it sort of occupies a corner of people's lives and people's minds and a corner of television. And it's electromagnetic radiation, isn't it, telly? It's not... It's not the real world.
That's true. Fair point. Yeah. A bit like radio, really, I guess.
Yeah. Except radio's better because the pictures are better. And I kind of think that telly is so kind of... It's entertainment, you know. Yeah. It sort of fills people's lives. It's great. But your experience staying in that building was probably more fundamental, more profound than you know, watching 20 years of television programmes almost.
The
best thing we could all do is get out there and enjoy these buildings, yeah.
Yeah. Do you find, mentioning that, do you kind of... find that you switch off from it, or are you always looking at buildings and their designs?
Well, I don't think you can switch. The only time I switch off is when I'm asleep, and I think that's the same with all of us as human beings. I think we're hardwired to react to our environment, to react in really quite fine ways to our environment. I mean, I think we forget that we're creatures that for hundreds of thousands of years responded to the warmth of an open fire, the humidity of a cave, and our bellies being full, or our hunger, our fear of the night, and, you know, these kind of primal feelings and sensations. And that we have judged whether or not something is edible by its smell, by its sight, by its touch, whether or not something might be comfortable or dangerous by those same senses. So when we look... I'm going to come back and criticise television again. Television is pictures with sound. And actually, even the sound is quite a lot of music. It's very suggestive. I think, actually, when we come to judge the quality of something, if I knock this glass cabinet behind me, it makes a different noise to that armchair
yeah.
to that table. To that, oh, you can hear the rattle
of the cup.
Cup and saucer on it, can't you? And you can tell it's China. You can tell it's China the yeah. moment you hear that noise. You can tell it's China. You can tell it's fine bone China from the moment you pick it up and you feel the weight of it and mm-hmm. your skin touches it and your lips, which are enormously sensitive, of course, you know, kind of make contact with the edge. Now, you can't judge any of that on the internet. You can't yeah, judge any of that true, in yeah. pictures. You can sort of hope and think, but actually the real quality of things is in the is much in the tactile as in the visual. And it's in smell too, and taste. This is why fine dining interests me, you know, because for the first time, maybe in days, if you go to a really posh restaurant, you might sit in front of bone china, crystal, glass, beautiful silverware, linen napkins, leather sofa. You know, whereas when you get out of bed in your poly cotton sheets, you can get into a plastic car and go to a plastic office. You can actually go through your entire day touching nothing but synthetic materials.
Mm-hmm.
And the quality of things, the well-made object, is the moment you touch something, you look at, I mean, I'm looking over there. See that stool? There's a mm-hmm. stool over there which looks like it might have been made in Africa, in Central Africa. It's very beautiful and elaborate. It might be Indian, actually. In a way, what I want to do is, I sort of latched onto that, I want to go and touch it. And the reason I want to touch it, like all of us want to touch something, you see a beautiful car, you want to go up and you touch it, mm-hmm. put your fingers on it, leave the marks behind. But not to make it your own, but in order to be able to kind of confirm that it really is the thing you think it is.
Yeah.
And that it does have the qualities that you're expecting. When it does so, it's kind of a great relief. Can't do that on telly, can you?
Yes, that's yeah? true. So but you can in your everyday life.
You can in your everyday life with the well-made thing.
Yeah.
With the well-made building or the well-made... So the really good handrail or the beautiful tap or the door handle with that lovely action or that beautiful chair or piece of carved wood or whatever it is, you know, that lovely object which has been made. The moment you touch it, you're making contact with another human being through the marks they made in it.
Like, kind of on that riff, what do you think of, like, the rise of, like, furniture that is, like, flat-packed... And there's not much necessarily care in it? I don't know. How do you feel about those kind of things?
I think every object has a story.
Mm-hmm.
And the story can either be fake or it can be authentic. If somebody says, this is flat pack furniture and that's all we do and we make it ethically out of FSC cardboard and, you know, we make it really well and we make it with love and we make it as cheaply as we can and people who make it get looked after and well paid, then actually I'll buy that.
Yeah.
And I'll probably buy the piece of furniture. So there's a sort of... narrative behind every object and
regardless of cost.
Yeah, and you know, even the cheapest piece of furniture is still made by human beings.
Mm-hmm.
It's sometimes made with machines as well, of course, but there is more, of course, there's more tangibility, there's more craftsmanship in the well-made thing than in the poorly made thing. But
yeah,
horses being for courses, I still think that even the poorly made thing should still have an honesty about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
interesting. Cool, Kevin, thanks so much for speaking
great
to us.
Pleasure
today.
Thank you.
It's okay to be a little broken and beat, but I'm alright with that. You're with me, relax. And you call it weak, baby, you're just unique. Come out of the black, never hold it back. Cause you don't
to the best of Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio.
We're here, we're in.
Sandra's in the house.
We are having a busy old time of it this evening.
Right. It is rocking and rolling. The studio is like Piccadilly Circus.
Oh my God.
I was, with her box.
I was on a radio show this morning.
Were you?
BBC Berkshire.
Well, we don't talk about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we're not going to do that one. I'm at FUBA.
You're at FUBA now.
Radio.
I'd
right
like to know, what does FUBA stand for?
That's something to Google once you're off the show.
But yeah. Sandra, it's so good to see you.
You're on air.
Yeah.
You are live.
Happy to meet you, Liz. And you know what? I'm going to say this, right? And I've got to say it. I said it to all celebrities. You look better off in real life.
Really? Oh,
yeah,
bless you.
Look good. I can see you look really? All right, babes. Yeah.
Do you know what? Actually, a lot of people say to me, what work has Liz Lizzie had done? I say, if you see her in the flesh.
Well, have you had any?
No. I've got big cheeks.
Yeah. You're normal, babes.
Thank you.
Like, I don't wear makeup on TV. On Gogglebox.
You're not doing Gogglebox anymore.
No, I'm not.
It's gone on.
What the hell?
So what happened,
I love Gogglebox, you and Sandy.
Yeah, well, listen. I tell you, from the day I left.
You didn't fall out with her.
No, I'm still with her. She's doing a pantomime in Lincoln.
Right.
And I'm doing pantomime in... We went to Benidorm a couple of months ago.
Okay.
So what happened now? Sandy left a year ago and I brought my daughter on, yeah?
Yeah.
It's not the same.
It didn't work, yeah.
You can't... Like I said to Eamon Holmes, you can't talk about...
No.
That's true.
It's a 24-year-old daughter.
And it's also a bit embarrassing if there are those sexy scenes.
Yeah.
I've got two young boys. No. You know, you kind of go...
You can't do
it's
it.
It's different.
So I said to Channel 4, and then... Right. And Sandy's doing other things. So the thing about being on Gogglebox, you're contracted. And when I was sitting down on the sofa, I was getting jealous of people asking me to go here and there, and I couldn't do it. And I started to have dreams, thinking... Big Brother, The Jungle, Pantomime, a lot of other things. Yeah. Besides Gogglebox. Because being on Gogglebox, all you want to do is sit on the sofa.
Yeah,
you're not
a
celebrity, you know.
No, okay.
There's no celebrity.
Well, you can become one. Look at Scarlett.
Well, yeah.
Look at Scarlett. I mean, what do you think of Scarlett?
No, Scarlett's great. I'm glad what she's going through. Sorry what she's going through with anyone being horrible to her. Because I'm not going through that. You know what I mean? No disrespect. Steph and Dom's left. They've got their little show.
Yep.
And I haven't been watching it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I've been so busy. From
I
left
think
July,
it's lost it a bit. I think it's lost it a bit, the show.
Yeah, it's not the same.
It's not the same. A lot of people... But guess what they do? They do
and
repeats.
And I'm not just saying that. It's not the same. Yeah, they are repeating in a lot of the older ones.
When I left there, I signed up for pantomime. But I moved to Hastings from London.
Wow.
So I was in Hastings for July, August, September. And then October, I went away for 3 weeks in Italy to do something private.
Okay.
Is it
can you talk about it?
I can't talk about it.
It's okay. A TV show.
Yeah, a big
ooh
one.
Ooh.
And it's hot.
Okay.
It might even be hotter than Gogglebox.
Okay, got it.
But anyway, so that's coming out January.
Oh, I'm very excited.
And then when I came back from October, I met this gentleman on the 24th of May. He's here now. My new boyfriend of 6 months.
Yeah.
Six months today.
We just
he's
saw him.
Hot.
Okay. Yeah.
And you know, you get them boyfriends that does everything for you. So.
Woo!
You know that first 6 months love.
Oh yeah, babe.
Right, were you in love?
I know.
And my last boyfriend of 10 years, you know, I couldn't splash him over the papers, but this one I could put him on Facebook and we hold hands and do things. So anyway, so
it's love.
And then I had to move from Hastings, come back from Italy, move to Birmingham just for a couple of weeks, and now I've moved today. I've got a lovely house.
Yeah.
I ain't bought it, renting.
Yeah.
A and B, never knew about that, my first time,
wow,
in Maidenhead, to live there till New Year's Day.
Wow,
fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's a very nice place.
As we speak, I have it in my bag, I'm learning my lines.
Oh, for Panto?
It's a bit
it's
difficult.
Hard work.
So what role are you playing?
I'm Spirit of the Ring. And guess what? I start...
What? Spirit of the Ring?
Babes, why are you laughing? I've got
the ring?
Spirit of the Ring. The ring?
I get it.
They made me...
You are famous for your rings.
I'm the only one. I start the show off. The advertisement is all over. Pictures of me all over. Oh, right? And I start... My first thing I say, I have to remember this morning, is that, hello, everyone. And Abaza says something. Then I turn around and see, I can't remember. Then I turn around and say, why? What have you done? Then he says something. This is what I'm learning, you know.
Yeah,
the next bit I say, why do they hate you so much? Then he says something. Then he says, I summon you, oh master. It's you I only obey.
Ooh.
So is it Aladdin? Like, now, it's Aladdin,
see,
right?
Yeah, it's in there and I can't remember the rest.
Is your boyfriend? Is that what you say to your boyfriend?
No, so what my boyfriend's going to do...
He's helping you.
Tomorrow, what we're going to do... Because like I said, I came here Tuesday, interview, Wednesday...
It's been non-stop.
Interview today, one today, tomorrow. Saturday morning, Christmas lights, Monday rehearsal. So tomorrow, we're going to go to the shop... And photocopy. I'm going to make him play one of the characters.
Got it. Best way.
And I'm going to play one of the characters, and that's how I'm going to roll.